Greg, when you asked your question in regards to the numbers, were you asking how many licenses were issued in San Juan County, basically? Is that, and what types and what's available, or what?
No, I was looking at the trauma and what the trauma response area is, and Dr. Sullivan said it's just really one area.
I'll bring that map up so you can see it.
But we can tell you what your min-max is. That's what he has, I think.
Yeah, that's why I took a picture of us, to see if there, what licenses were, how many were being used, how many were available. So for aid, BLS, there's 9 available.
Okay.
0 being used.
And aid doesn't transport.
Correct.
So that's
right.
Like your fire engine and then with there's, on it.
But that's aid and BLS?
Mm-hmm.
BLS, okay. Aid, BLS. And
so
then ambulance.
9 available, 0 used, okay.
Yeah. And then ambulance, BLS, the max number is 10, and there's only 1 being used, so there's, okay. There's 9 available from that.
10's a lot. Do you,
mm-hmm.
do you guys
you
need
may
that?
Need to lower
a little bit,
down
I realize.
Down a
little bit. Who wrote that?
Then,
lots of room for growth.
And then for ALS, your max is 4, and there are 3 licensed issues.
So max
so
is 1
available.
So there's 1 of 3 used. Okay.
And know that those licenses marry your trauma response area. So if you come back and say, okay, this was our current state, this is our future state, then we would work with you on figuring out how many licenses you would need for that area. But that's going to take a comprehensive needs assessment on your part. Call volume, population growth, other
if
nuances.
We wanted to expand it.
If you wanted to make changes outside of this.
Okay. If there's no other questions from the CAG members, I'd like to open it up for members.
I have one question on that. So if we wanted to reduce the number because we said we don't need this many in this area, would we just have to go through that comprehensive assessment, or would you just say you don't need 10 of these and 10 of those? I mean, this is long-term down the road, and I don't think this has even been discussed, but if you were, say, to go to a regional fire authority where you have somebody overseeing the entire system, they don't need to have all separate licenses, and they can go down to 1, provide service to the entire county. Would you then still need to do that comprehensive needs assessment, even if you're going to do that?
If you're going to change that number from 10.
Right. It's
or just leave it alone.
Just
you
leave
can
it
leave
alone.
It alone.
You
yeah.
can leave it alone.
Okay.
The answer is leave it alone. Right?
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
I got that
it's
part already.
You know, and if you change it, what you'll get is you'll get people coming out of the woodwork saying, you know, these companies from California, you know, saying, well, maybe I could do an ambulance service up there.
Come on up.
Right? That's what I'm saying. That they would
be interesting to watch.
That. That's why, where you'll get that conversation. And sometimes
they
the steering committee will say,
yet, so.
It's unusual for them to go down. Why are they going down? You have plenty of room for growth. The disadvantage for keeping it like it is that theoretically, if someone wanted to apply for something, there's room. You know,
right,
so you could
right.
have a
so
private
it, it
entity come up
yes.
and set up
it,
shop,
yes.
and you wouldn't
it,
be able
yes.
to say you can't set up shop.
It doesn't secure what is.
Yes.
It just
yeah.
demonstrates to what level you can
for now,
there.
We can live with that risk.
But a needs assessment yeah. might be a strategy that you want to implement in your future planning somehow. Just even if it's in the next biennium, to make some cleanup work to your max, if it hasn't been done for a long time because you have 10. Right?
What? Well, I guess the question is the area of 10, is that the county?
That's for San Juan County.
Okay.
That's for the whole county.
So it's for the whole county.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do we have any questions from members of the community who are present, please?
Okay, this is going to be a little off topic, but since this is going, this whole study is being done to solve some problems that are going on, another problem that we have is I understand our chief, Martin, refused give you his certification.
You know what? I'm sorry.
It doesn't relate. So is there some advice that you would have for a new entity as far as how they would do oversight? Is there something we can learn from this problem that we currently have in a way to prevent it from happening again? Is that okay?
Yeah, got it. Thank you.
I think that when it comes to the provisions of rule with providing structure for EMS responders, mm-hmm. that it's really between the organization that employs that person and that person in the Department of Health. And that's because there's privacy laws associated mm-hmm. with discipline. If someone is operating outside the parameters of rule, then any citizen or member can file a complaint. So it just goes through our normal complaints process. So I don't think that there's a provision that a new entity could put in place or a process a new entity could put in place outside of that, because there's already an existing disciplinary process. And we encourage people to use that. We will investigate, you know, concerns and complaints and work with the community on addressing those. Yes, if anything, contribute to rulemaking, because if you want clearer guidelines and clearer rule, that's where, you know, you could spend some time and effort in consulting with us on what it is. In specifically relating to criteria for training records, the rule is very vague, and that's part of the, you know, that's a challenge for us. So if we wanted a less vague rule, then we would want the citizens to help prescribe that.
Okay.
So that's one area you can contribute.
We'll probably have some time after the meeting, too, if there's some issues of other concern, not part of this meeting, that could be discussed. Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Katie, you were talking about 15 minutes ago. We started the conversation on certificate of need, and then you segued into three things that you need to do. One was general community input. Two, I thought, you didn't name it, two, so I was trying to figure out what we needed to do, was I thought regional structure.
It's your tax, letting us, addressing your taxable jurisdictions.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're going to make any changes to your jurisdictions, taxing jurisdictions, we'll want to know that. So that's the second thing to consider in a big merger consolidation of this nature. And the third thing was to address the trauma response areas in the regional plan with the regional councils. Yeah.
And our main contact
is
the chain of command would be Jason.
He's a perfect starting point, yes. Another contact for you is the
perfect.
I heard her say perfect, Jason. That rocks.
Anybody video?
Martina Nichols is the executive director for the North Region EMS Council, and so she can work with you and Jason. You have other questions, Rick? You've had enough questions. It's Will's turn.
Wow. Now you're sounding like my wife. And she pauses me along.
Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is a comment and not a question. Both myself and Dr. Sullivan sit on the North Regional Council.
Yeah.
And at our last regional council meeting, my recollection was our regional plan is in draft form, and we reviewed the executive summary of that. But I thought Martina said we were going to have until this fall to submit it, and I heard you say June.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, their plans are due to us the first week of April.
Okay. Yeah. So but my point is that our next regional council meeting, I just got the email this morning, is on April 4th. And my suggestion would be, at the very least, to contact Martina and be happy to provide her contact information. At least have a placeholder there on the council's agenda. At least whatever this committee, the Citizens Advisory Committee, comes out with, we should get to the regional council meeting and not have to go through the whole amendment of the regional plan because it hasn't been approved yet. So I'm just off of that comment.
Yeah, well, that's got to come from the commissions, though, because we don't make a decision on any of that. So there's two steps to get there. But yes.
I think it's good advice for us to just have that conversation to queue up somebody asking to be on that agenda.
Although it appears like there won't be change in that right now, this trauma response area is still kind of going to stay the same, will be the same. And
you're just changing the entities that
you're just changing the entities that actually.
But it does change taxable jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So
that
a big piece of that.
That potential.
If that happens.
Yeah, that's though number two and not number three. Yeah.
So the regional councils will help you with the plan amendment if you need a plan amendment, right?
Right.
They also have to review applications for changes. And so if you have EMS or fire services that amend their applications or new applications, build in that time, have them review it.
Okay.
They're required to review it by statute. So, but that's an easy thing, and we can walk you through it and make sure that you have everything you need. It's always nice to do some political mapping and make sure you're not going to have people at the meeting that suddenly bring up something that you didn't consider. It's always nice to do that ahead of time.
Sure.
Being very transparent in your process when you're managing conversations around consolidations, mergers, and taxable jurisdiction changes will just be very beneficial. Because if we don't hear about it, we will.
And then I'm sure you'd be happy to share
it. Yeah, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to be like, I told you.
Great. Are there any other questions or comments? Sure.
You talked about the outer islands.
Yes.
That they could opt out. Is that correct?
Yes. And the community doesn't have to have EMS. They don't want it.
So let's say a couple of the outer islands choose to opt out that are paying taxes now. They would no longer have to pay those taxes. They would not get any EMS care from San Juan County or from us. It seems to me like, well, one, it's a disservice to them, mm-hmm. but it's their choice. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how that's going to affect how this whole configuration looks when we get down the road.
Yeah, the conversation with the citizens is critical. I mean, what kind of service do they want and expect?
It's an issue, frankly, we've been struggling with over the last couple of weeks, to be honest.
Well, it's actually two different issues that you just raised. One was, do they pay for it? Do they get the service? Those turn out not to be the same thing. You either are in the taxing district or you're not, independent of whether that taxing district provides service to you and everybody else or not. And so the question becomes, can they still be in the district that gets served or the territory that gets served and opt out? Not without a vote. I mean, they can. Sure, you can get out of a taxing district by vote, but you can't just decide we're not going to pay the tax anymore. So that requires that the jurisdiction, the taxing jurisdiction, change. Now, if what we do is decide fire should be doing this, and it's not going to be an EMS tax anymore, it's just going to be the fire district bumping their tax by an equal amount because they already do taxing, so fire district tax raises enough to cover it. Now the boundary for the fire district determines who pays the tax. Again, separate question, kind of independent of whether or not services are provided to the folks who used to pay the EMS tax, but won't if they're not in the fire district. Does that make sense? And so the question now is, okay, do we keep the fire district collecting an EMS tax, and then they would have to start a new EMS tax that includes all those islands, or do they just go with the fire district tax as is and drop those islands off the tax rolls for that?
But the other side of that is that a recommendation, at least this is where we've been really challenged, is that making a recommendation that suggests that then you almost push people out of their EMS system, because if their EMS levy goes away, then because it is a district, does that then just push them out of what? And that's the second question. What is the what? What is the real expectation of delivery of services to those islands? Is it a response time of 2 hours or 1 hour? What kind of health care are they getting at this point? Truly, what kind of fire care did they get? And so I think that's where we've really been struggling. And, you know, at the end of the day, it probably has to come back to the boards and to the entities to say, part and partial, when you guys make your decisions, it's an element you've got to look at, and here are the things that we've brought up. We may not actually be able to answer it in the Citizens Advisory Group.
So, do we have any feedback from those areas, those islands?
There's been no survey done.
No, there hasn't been, and that's probably part of what's going to be in the recommendation. So, as time goes on, there are components of what you're going to have to do that becomes either the owners or managers, if it stays the current owners and managers, then they don't have to. But in the new current, if the new owners and managers wanted to do that, what does that mean? It's an element that we probably won't be able to answer, just because it becomes a decision on your part as to what you would do, and on the hospital district's part on what they would want.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, in your earlier comments, Jay, you said that this type of stuff is taken going on throughout the state. Mm-hmm. But with us only having roads open when ferries are at the dock, mm-hmm. we're different. But when it's going on in the other part of the state, they're doing these consolidations and these mergers. And they're at the point before the civic need and broad community input. From that point to the other end where it's finalized, just give me a ballpark idea how long that is.
I think it for our process,
yes.
anywhere between 60 days and a year.
Oh, but average, I mean, 60 days seems like really fast to me.
It depends on the time of year, because regional council meetings, you'll have to attend one or two. The regional council meetings during the summer, if there's wildfire, they won't meet. And in your area, it might not be as, north region might not be as significant, but if there's winter or summer. So wildfires or snow, so you only get two meetings a year. So theoretically, if you've got a council that only meets two times a year, those are your two opportunities to make that change. Doing all of your homework ahead of time with your local council is important, because if you go to the regional council and say, this is what we want, the regional council is going to say, what say local EMS council? So the information you take to the regional council needs to be from your local EMS council, not just the citizen advisory group or the commissioners. You need to construct that recommendation, take it through your local EMS council, because that's our statutory framework and hierarchy of authority, local council to regional council to DOH. So go to the local council, have them write the recommendation inclusive of all the people that have contributed, take that to the regional council, and then the regional council will take it to DOH, and then we'll schedule it for a steering committee meeting. On average, it takes us 30 to 60 days to review something, depending on how many times we have to kick it back and forth and answer questions and ask questions. And most of the time, we're asking questions about the needs assessment, if there is one.
So
right?
The 30 to 60 days, that's like you just talked about. Prior to that, if the regional council meets four times a year and you have to go through it twice.
Typically, because right, a lot of people won't go to local
and
first.
You need your local. So we're talking a year, at least just scheduling wise.
Sometimes,
a year out.
If we're consulting with you on a regular basis, sometimes, like I said, our average timeline is anywhere from 60 days to a year, depending on how close you work with us. But we try to make sure that all the entities that are included are included. And so we can sometimes configure changes of this magnitude through our processes between 60 days and a year.
Okay.
So.
And one other question. Once you start talking about time, money always comes into my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do these processes cost?
I don't know.
State doesn't charge.
Right.
It would just be depending on what other resources
you need. We don't charge for...
Are you asking?
I know you don't, but I mean, it's not only cost money.
Yeah. It is taxpayer
time,
resources
people,
and time.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it certainly is, but I don't have a ballpark average for how much that would be for you. I think that the principle that I would look at is we want to be expedient, we want to avoid arbitrary and capricious processes, and that's why I thought it was important when Rick said, we've got these things, I said, let us come up and talk with you so that we can give you some framework. Mm-hmm. Because if we can do that ahead of time, we save taxpayers' money from
right.
all of us coming together and talking about it. Right. So from the principle...
Thank you, Rick, for putting
yeah,
that together.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a cheap piece of information on data
no.
here. But
no, you can't. No, not.
Well, I can tell you, I can provide you with examples of a lot of this, because Skagit County just went through this process where they did the consolidation
right.
and they went from a third service to a fire-based system. So those needs analysis, if you want to know, hey, what does a successful needs analysis look like? Well, I can drop three of them on your desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Burlington Fire, you know, Mount Vernon Fire. What time frame did it take to go through that process? It's all known. We just did it. And then how much does it cost? Well, there is no cost because it's local councils, it's not charging, regional councils, not charging, states not charging. So
that's money, but it's also those people are taking
well, sure.
time away from another thing they're doing.
Yeah, and there's no fee charge, but what you're asking is how much taxpayer investment are we putting into these processes? I mean, that's what I'm hearing from you. Yeah, well, we try to be less arbitrary and capricious, and we want expedient, efficient processes, and our statutes are very cumbersome when it comes to making changes to certificate of need concepts like licensure. That's why I thought it was important to come here and talk with you about it. So when you get to that point, Jason will navigate, and we'll do our best to get you through those processes as efficient as possible.
You're going to be our new best friend, Jason.
Okay.
And we know you're perfect.
And he's perfect. I did it with Gadget, I can tell you that.
Right.
Do we have any other comments from our group?
Yeah, I do. Just for clarification on two things, Katie. So what I heard you, what I think I heard you say is that contracting is almost impossible to do. And by that I mean that you almost have to retain ownership of personnel under the license. You have to retain ownership of the vehicles under the license. You have to retain the license. So really the only thing that you're that you could be potentially contracting for is maybe management. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's going to take licensure change, which then takes ownership, which then takes a fair amount to get into contracting.
I think that's a fair statement. I think that the one of the principles behind our system is to prevent inefficient duplication of services. And if you are hold a license, so you're licensed ambulance service, and you contract with another licensed ambulance service to provide your ambulance service, then that avoids the whole principle of distribution of resources, right? There's no point in that. So that's part of why it's so designed that way.
And then my second question is that the MPD appears to be the state's representative to the
for entity
for clinical. Mm-hmm. And does the extension, just trying to get a little clarification on the question that was asked earlier, when you look at training, certification, practices, and all those types of things, it's really that MPD's responsibility through, as the state's representative, to ensure compliance to those things. If there's challenges to them, it might be the state that reviews them, but the initial side of it is that it's the MPD's responsibility to kind of ensure those things as an agent of the state.
The expectation is the MPD, and if you look at the WAC, it identifies the activities that the MPD would perform, which includes auditing the medical care and performance, EMS performance.
Okay.
You know, EMS performance.
Okay.
The DOH giveth and the DOH taketh away. So, with that said,
yeah,
it's not necessarily his responsibility
to take away,
right,
or to even adjudicate, but it
correct.
Is.
So if he gets to the point where he needs to apply discipline, so when you say enforce or ensure compliance, you know, he has to consult with us on
yeah.
that. And what we have the ability to do is prescribed in the Administrative Procedures Act, and again, based on our rule. And if our rule is written, and it always has been written very vague because our stakeholders have liked that vague language, in some particular cases, that vagueness doesn't serve us very well.
But as the auditor, he at least, or she at least, identifies
and
brings forward and,
yes.
and has the responsibility probably to bring forward as your agent
yes.
the assurity that those things
are going on.
And in
this circumstance, all of those provisions were met.
Okay.
Right. The limitation was language in law.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You know, we really appreciate your time. I know
sure.
this was difficult for you to do, especially with the legislative session in progress. This has been very, very helpful to us. And I know we look forward to continuing to work with you regardless of what decision we make. There are definitely things we as a community want to do to advance medical care here on the islands. And we're all in this together. That's why it's great to see Chief from Orcas mm-hmm. here. I mean, we all have this philosophy that we're in this together, and it's nice to know that you're in this together with us, too.
Yes. Yeah, we're the regulators, but we also have that paradoxical role of helping to try to build the system and configure it in the way that you want. But let us know how we can help you. And again, your hospitality today was lovely. It was lovely to a good reprieve from legislative session. Olympia's pretty stuffy right now.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, thank you.
Carl or Norvin, since you two are kind of key people along with the two board members from the PhD and the board member from fire, but do you guys have any questions that you see as we're putting this together that might be something from a state perspective or from a healthcare perspective that you have as questions?
You know, I can't think of any questions right now. Just to assure you, though, that in terms of the type of service provided, we're always looking at that stuff. That's stuff that we do internally all the time, trying to make sure that we got the right, you know, we're providing the level of service. And I really appreciate you guys looking at all that. But I can tell you that's something that's our bread and butter. That's what we're doing. And it's trying to make sure that we can meld these two agencies together, and your recommendations are going to be very, very helpful. But it, you know, ultimately it's going to be up to us to make sure that we're providing that type of service, providing the data that's necessary, the metrics that you guys are going to be looking for. Yeah, and that's an answer for, you know, for us as well, as we want to be able to look at those metrics to see, are we doing it right and where can we improve? And that's what, you know, we all start with together. And I don't mean to speak for Norman, but I kind of think we're all on the same page with that.
So I would echo what Carl just said, that the goal is the best care, both clinically and performance standard-wise, to the citizens. So however we can do that best is what we're going to do. One question that, as I'm listening to some of this, that I wanted to kind of have some clarity. It kind of goes back to what Rick was just asking. And this might be an offline to visit with Justin a little bit, or Jason a little bit on this, and that is when you're talking about the licensure piece. So if I draw the comparison to fire first response and another third party, whether it's a taxing district or another provider that provides the transport, you still have to have both licenses on both sides, but it doesn't give, or it could indirectly be perceived as a duplicitous service, right? If you've got fire first response that then turns it over to an ALS transport system, but you've got paramedics in both. Piece of advice from you to us, if we're going down this, and it can take anywhere from 60 days to a year plus if we want to put this together, depending upon how deep of a needs assessment we need to go to make sure, and what CAG is doing right now is setting the foundation and then doing a ton of the work for us, so they've done some of that needs assessment. Would it be advisable that as we look at integration, however the endpoint is, that we start to tee up some conversations about fire who doesn't have currently licensure for even BLS, and if there's 10 that are out there, one's being used, do you see that we could take some steps, knowing that the inevitability of what's going to be best for the citizens clinically is going to be an integration of some type? Going down those roads now might help shorten that process and then demonstrate to the regional and state authorities that we're trying to create an integration for the community. What's your advice back to us on that standpoint?
Yeah, that method or model is used in other areas. I think I explained it earlier about the method, that model as far as Spokane County, Spokane County. They basically, all of their fire services are all aid. They're all aid services, and then they have, for transport, they have a private agency that does the transport. So all the fire departments are, I think most of them are BLS aid. There's a couple ALS aid. And then the ambulance service is a ALS ambulance service, and they do the transport. And that works perfect over there for them and how they do their system. So that is an option. For your other question in regards to moving forward with your agency doing it, it would all depend on the cost, because does this fire agency have all the equipment and personnel to be able to provide 24/7 service at that? It'd probably be the best for it would be the BLS aid, so the BLS, the vehicles and such, it will be your cost. I'm trying to think, insurance, I'm sure you guys already have all those types of things.
The limitation I think you would have is there's different levels of licensure. So if your fire first response decided you were going to be an aid license and not an ambulance license, non-transport versus transport. Say your transport service was out of the area and your fire service needed to transport somebody because your aid vehicles are ambulances, they're just licensed as aid. Our statute allows there to be a provision that if you're out of resources and you're pressed into service because there's no resources, then you can respond as an ambulance if you have the adequate equipment. But you can't bill Medicare or Medicaid for it because you're not at that license level. So, from the perspective of configuring your system so that you have adequate coordination of care with adequate license levels, we can certainly help you with that. And that is a model that's done in other areas. Something else to consider as well is that it was related to, I lost it. It was there and it's just gone. It's my age. It's after 3 o'clock.
Mountain time is 5 o'clock.
I can't remember what I was going to say, but there was one other thing I was going to say. It'll come back to me and I'll catch up with you. But you can configure your system with different license levels. And that's appropriate.
And the time frame for doing that is basically still the same. It still has to go through that same process. Even it may not be the year at the end because it's already built there as far as there's already room for it in the min-max. However, it still has to go through your local, still has to go through your regional, and so forth.
Well, I know what I was going to say. If you wanted to maintain your BLS verified ambulance license, and you wanted another service to have that, but your intent was only to do first fire response, we could document that in your application, that yes, you do have this verified BLS ambulance license that is in accordance with how the system is configured, and all of these folks came to the table to agree upon that. In your application, you're only using that in the event that there's no other service available. Then you get around that inefficient duplication of service piece. So we can dial into the nuances a little bit in applications. And quite frankly, in a rural community, we're less concerned about the inefficient duplication than we are in some, say, King County, right? So I don't think it's as applicable up here. But we would help you configure that how you need it.
Great.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And thank you for your time.
Of course. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate it. It's a pleasure to see all these different places and see the people and people I've had conversations with on the phone. We appreciate it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
So we have another meeting scheduled tomorrow evening. It's a working session for us to continue. And so we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you. Then at least if you can get you guys any questions or whatever, at least the meeting and I changing